Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today. I always look forward to our times of being together. They're a blessing for me, and I trust that they are for you, that they help you grow in your walk and in your relationship with the Lord. I hope that you're having a wonderful day already at whatever point in time of the day it is that you're watching this. It's an absolutely beautiful day here. The sky is that gorgeous blue. The temperatures are warming up pleasantly. It's a little cold this morning, but it's warming up nicely now. It's an absolutely beautiful day. But the best part about it is the fact that as believers, we have a relationship with our Lord, we know Him, and we get times like these, like this, that we can spend together with Him because He wants us to know Him, He wants us to grow in Him, He wants us to be able to trust Him more. And again, that's what I hope comes out of this time. I always look forward to it, and again, I hope it's a blessing for you. But since we've come together to meet with our Lord, let's turn to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, O God, for this beautiful day that you have given to us. Lord, everything about it testifies of your power, your greatness, your glory. Father, we thank you. And Lord, as we come before you, Father, we humble ourselves before you. We praise you as the creator, as the sustainer, as the ruler. And O God, we thank you that you are in fact our Savior, that through your Son you've made salvation possible. And through that salvation, adopted us as your children where we can call you Father. And Lord, we want to know you better. We want to be closer to you. We want to know your love and your faithfulness, your power, your goodness. Lord, speak to us today. Open our minds and our hearts, O Lord, as we open your word. Give us the understanding, O God, that we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, when we think about our Christian life and our walk and our relationship with Him, one thing that is absolutely essential for us in our relationship with Him, in our walk with Him, is a growing realization, a deepening realization of who He is. As we open God's Word, as we think, you know, who is this God? What is He in fact like? What does it mean to seek Him, to walk with Him, to obey Him, to entrust ourselves to Him? What is this God like? As we open His Word today to Psalm 24, He reminds us of some key elements, attributes, traits, characteristics, positions, if you want to call them that, that He has and that He is. And so look with me at Psalm 24. And again, if you'll excuse me, it's still a while until I have eye surgery, so I'm having a little difficulty in reading. But if you'll bear with me, I think we'll be able to see in His Word and receive a blessing from our time together. But think with me in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, even Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. As we stop and we think about who is the Lord, who is God, who is this great God of the Scriptures, you think about what we see, even in just these few verses of this psalm, what it tells us about Him and what it reminds us of Him. First of all, He is in fact the Creator, the one who made everything. Look again at verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. You think about it, God made everything. Again, this is an absolutely beautiful day here. To be quite honest, it's a very difficult day to be inside working. It would be a joy just to be outside, walking through the woods, just enjoying the beauty of this day. God is, in fact, the creator of all this. And what is amazing is when we stop and we remember and think about the creation from a biblical perspective, God made everything by speaking it into existence. You think of what that tells us about God's power, about God's control, about God's ownership, about His sovereignty, about His right to rule, and in fact, Him using that right to rule. You know, you think about such hymns as How Great Thou Art, and I love that hymn, especially when it talks about, you know, the creation and how it points to God, and we see how great He is, and then sings my soul, How Great Thou Art. Truly, He is. He is, in fact, the Creator. And you think about the response that ought to have for us before Him. One of humility, to be sure, but love and adoration, submission unto Him. He is, in fact, the Creator. We should, in fact, see God that way. We, in fact, really don't see God until we see Him in His greatness and His power that even the creation expresses. And our relationship to Him needs to be on an ever-growing, deepening realization of who He is. He is, in fact, the Creator. But we continue to look at this psalm. Not only do we see Him as the Creator, but we also see Him as the Savior. You think about what we saw in verses 3 through 4. As we think about being before this great God, this one who spoke all of this into existence, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. You think very honestly, openly, prayerfully about what we just read in verses 3 through 4. We have a problem. I have a problem. You have a problem. All of us have a problem. Because we don't come anywhere near those standards. In fact, is we think about that and it becomes very obvious how far short we have fallen of the glory of God as we read about in the book of Romans. We look at that and we realize that within our beings we are sinful. And we've, in fact, committed acts of sin. And you think about it. Where do we stand in relation to such a holy God? We're separated. We're alienated. We're hostile from Him. Hostile toward Him and alienated from Him. But then you continue reading and you think about what we read in verse 5. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of His salvation. Well, again, we're in trouble because we don't meet the conditions. But yet you think about God's wonderful grace and salvation. God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be born through a virgin, to become a man in every way. So because He's God, He is perfect and sinless within His being. And in His life, He was sinless. So He's perfect in both His heart and in His conduct and His nature and in His life. As a result of that, He could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, to die upon the cross in our place for our sins, so that we could in fact receive the righteousness that is rightfully His. He could in fact give that to us. Isn't that the gospel message? Jesus Christ went to the cross, died, was buried and rose again to save any who place their faith and trust in Him. You think about that verse. I'm sure, quoted it many times in our times together. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And He did that, yes, to save us from our sins, but to bring us into a relationship with Himself. You know, Jesus Himself defined salvation in John 17:3 as a relationship. Our Lord said, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. God, in fact, through Christ, brings us into a relationship with Himself. He saves us to reconcile us and to adopt us. And you think about what this says to us as believers. When you and I, as believers, sin, we don't lose our salvation. We do lose the closeness that we have with our Father. We lose that intimacy. But you think about what we see in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all because of our wonderful Savior. He is faithful to every promise He's ever made. He's just in the fact that the sin, He doesn't just gloss over it or ignore it, is in fact applied to Christ. And through His blood, we're in fact forgiven and cleansed. You think about this incredible God, the Creator of all, is also our Savior. You know, in terms of the creation, a moment ago I mentioned how great Thou art. We think about His grace. You think about another hymn, Amazing Grace, that saves wretches like you and me. And in Him we're forever saved. He is our Savior. He alone has brought about this wonderful salvation. What a wonderful God we have to love and be loved by, to walk with, to know and be known by. What an awesome God. He is the Creator. He is the Savior. He is also, number three, the victorious King. And think about that, because I realize we look around and we see our Lord increasingly not only ignored, but deliberately rebelled against, not just ignorantly rebelled against, but deliberately rejected and rebelled against. And it's very easy for us to think, you know, is this the way it's going to always be? I mean, is this just what's going to happen? Is our Lord going to somehow lose in the end? No. You think about what we read in verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The picture there is of a returning victorious king. He has gone to the battle. He has won it. And he is in fact returning in a great show of victory and a great victory parade, if you will. Our understanding, not only of our Lord, but quite frankly, our world, requires us to see our Lord as the victorious King. Everything that we see taking place around us right now is just part of His plan for His ultimate fulfillment of all of His promises and His ultimate victory. He is only allowing man, and tempted and driven by Satan to be sure, to go only as far as is necessary for our Lord to complete His perfect eternal plan for the ages. He is the victorious King. And you think about what that tells us individually. Obviously, it ought to cause us to really evaluate where do we stand before Him. Because this one is the one we are accountable to. Have you truly trusted Him, going back to what we talked about a moment ago, for your salvation? Because only in Him is there salvation. You're not going to somehow skirt by this one. You're not going to somehow fool this one. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Believer, is there something in your life that needs to be dealt with? What if His return, and we know obviously He comes for His church first in the rapture, but what if that wonderful event was to take place even before you and I finish our time together? What if you never got to finish watching this video because our Lord came? Is there something that needs to be dealt with between you and Him today, this moment? Could it be, in fact, that quite frankly, you have something even more important to do than listening to this video? Could it be that perhaps you need to turn it off and meet with the Lord in confession and repentance? As important as God's Word is, our hearts have to be ready for it, and maybe that there's something that you need to get right with Him before you even move on. And I'd encourage you to come back, obviously. But the point is there something you need to deal with? This is the one that we, in fact, will give an account of our lives to. He is the victorious King. You know, but at the same time, it also ought to be a sense of joy and confidence for us. This world is not going to be allowed to go by unchecked. All the sins and the wrongs are not going to just simply be allowed to happen. Our Lord will deal with all of them. We can live even in these days with absolute confidence. because He is the victorious returning King. Who is our Lord, this great God that we're before? He's the Creator. He's also the wonderful Savior. He's also the victorious King. I pray that you know Him personally, and I pray that your whole life is based on knowing Him that way and growing in that knowledge of Him. And how that ought to lead us to have that holy fear of Him as we read about in the Scriptures, a loving adoration, and an unshakable trust in Him because of who He is. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, for the time with you. And O God, we praise you for who you are, Creator, Savior, victorious returning King. O Lord, we love you, we praise you, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you go through it with a firm vision, a growing vision of who our Lord is as the Creator, as the Savior, as the victorious King, that you worship Him and adore Him in your heart, that you walk in trust in Him, you walk in obedience unto Him, and you look joyfully for His return. And as we wait for His return, that you do have a great day in Him.